we're doing the Drashot HaRamban, and we're nearing the end. The Ramban described that the four fears that Avraham Avinu sensed when he began the vision of prophecy of the Brit Ben Abtarim corresponded to the four exiles. And the Ramban says now, "Dezot haParsha me'advarim ha'muchachim v'aburim lanu b'geula atida." In this parsha, this vision that Avram saw is one of the proofs, one of the places where the Torah clearly says that there's still a future redemption for the Jewish people. Ki peresh ba, because God tells Avram Avinu, He says, "Dim lezarcha natati et haaretz hazot." I have given your children this land, God tells Avram, min ha'mitzrayim, from the Egyptian river, ad ha'nahar gadol ne'ahar ferat, till the Euphrates. And then God enumerates 10 nations that the Jewish people will inherit. And the pasuk begins with 3 nations that we never conquered. Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. The Jewish people never fulfilled this prophecy. God tells Abraham, "I want you to know, you will have the land of Israel, and when we are described the land of Israel, so there are 3 times that the Torah describes the land of Israel, the boundaries. The first time is to Avram. And when the Torah enumerates the land of Israel that Avram is to inherit, the Torah enumerates a territory that we never inherited." So this point, says the Ramban, this is one time. The other 2 times that we have a description of the boundaries, that's what the Jewish people inherited when they entered the first time. What about this prophecy? God tells Abraham, He says, "You will inherit the 10 nations from the Euphrates down to the Egyptian River." We never had that. Yeah.
Just growing up, I've had a couple of Christians tell me that Shlomo Hamelech, like, extended the territory of Israel, or had rolled over from the both rivers. I was curious, like, I don't know enough about geography, and I never really studied it in depth. But is that, was he close? Is that why they say that? I mean, I was kind of curious.
We have to look at the text. I don't remember on him. I have to check. Part of?
As far as part of Iraq.
Sure, yeah.
So we should be ready to
invade.
Sorry. Every prophecy needs a prophet.
It's like Ketzalah said, if Damascus doesn't behave itself, we could be there very soon.
And what we cannot say is that they never had the merit to inherit that territory, and so the prophecy was not fulfilled. Here we have another point. We started discussing Wednesday night. Why does God make a pact? Why does God make a covenant? So the Ramban tells us an understanding here that it's important to know. He says, when God gives us a prophecy that something's going to happen, so there are always understood conditions. God tells Yaakov, "I'll bring you back in peace to the land of Israel," when Yaakov goes to Laban. So why is Yaakov concerned? Why is Yaakov uncertain and he's worried? Because Yaakov knows that when God gave him a promise, God said, "I'll bring you back to the land of Israel and things will go well for you. There's a precondition. You live up to your end of the deal, you be a righteous person, and I'll take care of you." And Yaakov is doubtful, "Did I really live up to my end of the deal?" So whenever God gives a prophecy, there are always conditions. God says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. Well, if they sin, so then they'll be overturned. And if they repent, as they did, then Nineveh is not overturned. So prophecies have an understood condition. That is not the case when it comes to a covenant and a vow. The idea that God makes a covenant, we asked on Wednesday, what if God says He's going to do something, that's not enough. He has to promise. He has to make a covenant. So the idea is that when God's making a covenant, He's saying there are no conditions. This is just going to be that way. Remember what we discussed?
We discussed that good prophecy cannot be
cannot be overturned, yes. But there. So the question is, then why was Yaakov fearful? So there are a few answers to that question. One answer is that technically a good prophecy is not overturned, but there are understood conditions. The understood condition is, I mean, God tells Abraham, your children are going to have the land of Israel. So what happened if all of Abraham's offspring decided they're not going to live up to their end of the deal? So now, what's going to be with that prophecy? So we say that prophecies have an understood condition. The exception is a covenant and a vow. This is the Rambam's understanding. You're right. The simple reading of the Rambam is not this way. I'm not sure that the Rambam would disagree, but the Rambam really gives a different answer when it comes to Yaakov Avinu. The Rambam says, why was Yaakov concerned? The Rambam says, because that was a private prophecy. Prophecy where the prophet gives over the prophecy to others, so there, if it could always be overturned, you can never validate a prophet. Yaakov's prophecy was personal, between him and God. There, God doesn't have to maintain a prophecy for good. The idea that when God gives a prophecy that something good will happen, he never changes it, that's so that we can verify a prophet. But a topic that's discussed between God and the prophet, that's not given over to everyone else, there God can do whatever he wants between him and the prophet. There's no rule that God won't go back on a good prophecy. That rule is only on public prophecies. You with me, Asher Chaim?
Yeah?
So I'm saying, the Rambam gives a different answer.
Yeah,
but we're learning the Ramban now. So, the Ramban says, El al kochenu atid lavo. But what we have to understand is that this prophecy is a prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled, and it's yet to come. Moshe matzinu parshiot rabot b'Torah, like we find many parshiot in the Torah, muchachot b'geula, that they are indicative that there's still a better redemption still to come. Because the parsha, the Torah refers to things that haven't happened yet. Is God talking for naught? You know, if it happens. An example, b'parshat arim miklat, the Torah says, if you expand your boundaries, you'll add more cities of refuge. The Jews never expanded those boundaries. We never added more cities of refuge. So what's the Torah telling us? So here, he's quoting really from the Rambam. Maimonides writes, this is an indication that we're still coming back to the land of Israel. The fact that God said in the Torah, if you will have greater boundaries than the land of Israel, you will add cities of refuge in those territories, and that never happened. Well, God knew the future. So what did God write a mitzvah in the Torah that would never happen for? Must be that God knew we're still coming back. That's what Maimonides writes. That's a machlokas. You're saying, what would the Rambam do with the Ben Sor Umore? That's a good question. We discussed just before you came. Okay, let's leave that. So I can answer you in a nutshell, but you won't be happy. So let's leave it. It's a good question. We'll leave this question.
Why is there an if instead of when?
In which passion?
The one you just read. If you will expect the boundaries, why not? Like, it's more clear. It says when.
You sure it says if?
Well, as you said.
It says v'chi yarchi v'ashem et gevulcha. V'chi and when.
Okay,
says v'chi. You're right. I wasn't careful enough when I said you're right. וכן פרשת בלעם מוכחת בביאור אל השני להאריך. And by the same token, when you read Bilam's prophecy, that's a clear indication that there's still good yet to come. But I can't expand on all the examples of the Torah where the Torah is telling you things that haven't yet come to fruition. ואני ביררתי בראיות גמורות, and I proved, with clear proof, says the Ramban, כי התוכחות שבתורה בפרשתי בחוקותיי, that the rebukes that we read in בחוקותיי, that the Torah tells us, in the book of Ayikra, Hena Lagalut Arishon, that those where God says, if you transgress the Torah, A, B, C, D, right? We have all the rebukes of the book of Ayikra. That's a reference to the first exile. And the rebukes that we read in last week's parsha, that's a reference to the second exile. Uraya Ladavar, I'll prove it. Chilashu Matralen Vaverot Gudolot, Vim Mechukotai Timasu. ואם את משפטי תיגל נפשכם, ואמר להפרכם את בריתי. והאנשים שמזהיר עליהם השמדת הבמות, והרחתי את חמניכם כמו שהיו עושים בבית ראשון. He says, if you look at the verses in the first description of the sins of the Jews and the punishment, so the first parasha describes that they'll leave God's Torah, they'll leave the covenant, and then God will destroy their houses of worship, of idol worship. And God warns, "Vashimoti et mikdashechem, I'll destroy your temple," because at that point the temple was much greater than the second temple. Yeah, it's no difference between first temple and second temple. First temple had 10 miracles that the second temple did not have. Yeah, you guys know? The godly fire, the Urim and the Thummim. There were 10 miracles that they had in the first temple, they didn't have in the second temple. Okay. Could be there are more than that. Okay, do you say so? Yeah. So the description of the first description of destruction, that only applies to the first temple. And we'll pick up over here, there's not Jim next time.